We're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Matot. The subject is Shelo Hikdimu Tfilin Shel Rosh LeTfilin Shel Yad. So the pasuk says in our parsha, Hichaltzu Mitchem Anashim LaTzava. Moshe tells the head of each tribe, you should prepare, encourage the people from your tribes to come out to war. Uverashi Rashi explains Anashim. What does that mean? Donate, you should volunteer people. It's stressing anashim that are tzaddikim, righteous people. And the Midrash says, Shekol 12,000 shalchu l'milchemet Midian, the 12,000 that went out to war against Midian, lo ekdim echad men tefillin shel rosh tefillin shel yad. The Midrash says, you know how pious they were? None of them ever put on the tefillin shel rosh before the tefillin shel yad. They never put on the tefillin on their head before the tefillin on the arm. If one of them would have put the head one first, Moshe would not have praised them. They wouldn't have made it out in peace. You see, they were exceptionally pious. So we have to explain, what's this special concept that's mentioned here? And what Hashem says, you must take for the army, davka ka'elu shekeimu mitzvah tefillin b'chol ha'diktukim. Specifically, those who fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin with all the details. Umadua davka b'melchemet Midian yu tzichim l'tzadikim ke'elu. And why specifically in the war against the Midianites did we need people who were so righteous? Ke'elu shelo hakdimu tefillin shel rosh l'tefillin shel yad. Specifically, soldiers who never put on the tefillin on their head before the arm. Yoter misha milchamot. You don't find this concept in any other war. We had wars against Sichon, Og, we had other wars. You don't find this concept. So we should explain. You want to know, all of a Jew's Judaism is contingent, revolves around the mitzvah of tefillin. You see, the Talmud tells us about tefillin what it doesn't say about any other mitzvah. It says that a Jew who never put on tefillin in his life is called karkafta delo manach tefillin. His armor, his head, is a head that never had tefillin on it. It doesn't say if you never shook lulav, so your hands are considered hands that never shook lulav. It doesn't say if you never ate matzah, so your mouth is a mouth that never ate matzah. It doesn't say that, but about tefillin it does. It says if your skull never donned tefillin, so that's called a skull that never donned tefillin. That's a special status of a Jew. What does that mean? So the idea, what's so unique about tefillin, more so than any other mitzvah? There are two fortresses in a Jew. Our mind and our heart. Those are two places that we fortify, that we strengthen. They control our body. They control all our limbs. Our work, our whole lives, revolves around this idea. Can I subdue my heart to the will of Hashem? Can I subdue my mind to the will of Hashem? Am I willing to do that? So this is a lifelong challenge. Because our hearts have their needs, wants, and desires. And our minds have their needs, wants, and desires. I want to share with you an interesting thing that happened to me last week. I spoke to a guy. He says his father was just diagnosed with a very serious illness. And he says, you know, ever since my father was diagnosed, I call my dad every single day. When I hung up the phone, it struck me for a second. You know, I've been doing that for 2 decades now, calling my dad every single day, not on Shabbos, but... And I never thought of it that way. You know, I never... He's telling me, you know, now that my dad has this illness, now I'm calling every single day. And I thought to myself, you know, when I did it, some days it's harder, some days it's easier. Some days you feel like doing it, some days you don't feel like doing it. But you do it because the Torah says, "Kabeit tavicha, veit imecha," so you do it. And then you look back and you say to yourself, wow, it's been 2 decades now. You look at this other guy and you say to yourself, I feel bad for him, he didn't do it. Sometimes we do things and we don't have control. Our heart's not there. Sometimes our mind doesn't want to be there. Our constant struggle is to get our minds and our hearts to be on the right path. That's not easy. He says, you want to know our lifelong task? It's in those two realms. If you can conquer those two, so then everything else just follows suit. There's an interesting story. It's a medrash, but it has a nice story that goes along with it. Chacham Ovadia was once invited to the king of Spain. So when he was by the king of Spain, he quoted him this medrash. The medrash says a king had an officer that he liked very much. And one time he asked the officer, he says, whatever you want, I'll give you. So the officer says, I want your daughter's hand in marriage. So the king says, wow, you know, I thought you'd ask me for a field. I'd give you a field. You'd ask me for gold. I'd give you gold. You'd ask me for royal clothing. I'd give you royal clothing. You asked me for my daughter's hand in marriage. That was a smart move. Now you'll get everything. You'll have my daughter, you'll get everything else, it'll come to boot. So the Medrash says that about Shlomo HaMelech. The Medrash says, God asked Shlomo, what do you want? Shlomo didn't ask for victory at war. He didn't ask for gold and silver. He didn't ask for his enemies. He asked for wisdom, you know. So that's like asking for the king's daughter. You get wisdom, you get everything else. So Chacham Ovadia once quoted in a shir that he said this Medrash over to the king of Spain when he was visiting, and the king liked it so much that when he left the king walked him out of the palace and stood out there waving to him as his limousine pulled off. So he said, people, the officers, the Spanish officers, said to Chacham Ovadia, what'd you tell the king? We never saw him walking a guest out and standing there waving. The king walked you and stood there waving to you. So Chacham Ovadia said, well, it has nothing to do with me. I quoted him a medrash of Chazal. It's the Torah's honor that he was honoring when he walked out there and waved and got so excited. He had an appreciation for a piece of Torah. So the medrash says, there's the daughter. You get the daughter, you got everything else. Shlomo HaMelech says, you give me wisdom, I've automatically accomplished everything else. Then Tivot Shalom says, if you can get your mind and heart to be in line with the will of Hashem, you've conquered everything else. Everything else just follows suit. This is the idea behind the tefillin. That's what we say before we don the tefillin. We say, "V'tzivanu laniach al hayad." Hashem commands us to place it on our arm. This is ruled in Shulchan Aruch. It's not only in the Shem Yichud. Shulchan Aruch says when we put on tefillin, we're supposed to have in mind that the idea of the tefillin is so that we subjugate our heart to and our desires to doing the will of Hashem. We put it on our head corresponding to the brain. The neshama in my mind. Together with my other senses. They should all be under His jurisdiction, in His service, blessed be He. When we put on tefillin, what we're really doing is we're wrapping ourselves, we're saying, my mind, my heart are in your control, Hashem. In essence, the tefillin is the arm, the mind, the heart, that's where I have control over myself. So that's the essence of the mitzvah of tefillin. Shem shabed al yada et ahavat u'machshevot libo, shalev hu hakolel et kol ha'rtzonot v'hatshukot shel adam asher yehudi tzarich l'shabdam na'avodato yitbarach shmo. The heart represents all our desires. The heart represents everything we aspire to, everything we wish to have. And that's what we're saying when we put on tefillin. It's as though we're wrapping our heart when we put the tefillin on our arm. Ve'et hanshama shebamoach, when we put it on our mind, it's as though we're saying all our senses, all our strengths, we are subjugating to Hashem. And then a person says, okay, so now everything follows suit. If I've gotten those two, I've gotten everything else. And that's why we put on tefillin on the arm before the head. Because you can't speak about the mind if you haven't yet spoken about the desires. So long as you haven't taken control of your desires, so then the mind can't follow suit. When a person allows his desires to be impure, so then he will not be able to attain clarity in his mind. This is a phenomenal line, the Netivot Shalom says. We like to think that our mind can be distilled. It's a separate entity. He says, no. So long as the heart is not pure, the mind will also be confused. A person will not have clarity. It's only after you put on the tefillin on the arm, only after one has said, I'm going to take control of my desires, and I'm going to guide my desires in line with the will of Hashem, only then can I turn to my mind and my thought and my perspective on life and say, okay, that's going to go the way of Hashem. We have koch to finish this, or we'll leave it for later in the week. Yes? Yes, koch? Okay. So he says, if we understand that that's what tefillin represents. Tefillin represents, firstly, I'm taking control of my desires. From there, I'll take care control of my thoughts and my senses. So then now we can understand why specifically in the war against Midian, we needed tzaddikim who never put the tefillin on their head before the tefillin on their arm. Because the war of Midian was really a war against Bilam. It was the strength of Bilam that was behind the Midianites. Our sages say that Bilam joined forces with the Midianites. He came to guide them at war. That's why he ended up getting killed during that war. And what Bilam wanted to do was to penetrate our desires. That's why he advised them, send the daughters of Moab out, go seduce them. And that's why the verse specifically describes that the nation first erred in pursuing the Moabite girls, and out of that, they were able to bring them down to paganism. They began by sending seductive girls out there, and then the girls would tell him, hey, come join me in this pagan, in the pagan ways. So where were they able to hit us first? In our desires. And that's what Bilam knew. That the way to bring us down was to first seduce us, work through our desires. Then he'll be able to attack our thoughts as well. You want to fight that, you need people who are very careful to put the tefillin first on their arm, first on their hearts, first on their desires, and then on their thoughts. If a person first focuses his heart to the service of Hashem, and he ensures that his desires are pure, and works his way up from there to focus his thoughts, so then he can fight Bilam. He can fight the people representing Bilam. In the other wars, that wasn't our war. And that's why you didn't need specifically people who were careful with the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And that's why after we put the tefillin on our arm, we say, ve'erastich li le'olam, we wrap the tefillin around our finger and we say, I engage you forever. Ve'erastich li be'emuna. Yeah. I engage you with faith, viyadat et Hashem, and you'll know Hashem. What does it mean, viyadat? We conclude with the knowledge of Hashem. But you first begin with emuna, and then viyadat et Hashem. And that's what the grandfather of Slonim said, that viyadat et Hashem, that's encompassing. Yadat et Hashem, de'a, as we well know, encompasses be it the thought of the mind or the understanding of the heart. That's the idea of the tefillin. Through tefillin, a person has to be able to connect Hashem in his heart and in his mind. And that's why the tefillin are called ot. What does ot mean? Ot means a sign. When a person ties on the tefillin, that's a sign that he is connecting to Hashem. That's why he's called a Yehudi. And that's why the tefillin are that great sign that shows that a Jew is a Jew. Now, all week long, we fulfill this with tefillin. What happens on Shabbos? So Chazal tells on Shabbos, you don't have to put on tefillin. Shabbos is called an ot. Right? The Talmud says that. They even say that Shabbos is an acronym. Shin, bet, taf, Shabbat, bimkom, tefillin. What does it say about Shabbos? Ladat ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. Again, the same term da'at, which is all encompassing, that Hashem is the one that gives us holiness. What do we do on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, what we're supposed to do is focus our desires and our pleasures in the honor of Hashem. It doesn't say eradicate them. It says align them properly. Right? We sing the song Ka Echsof Noam Shabbat. We say Shabbat Kodesh Nafshi Cholat Avatecha. Right? My soul is lovesick in your love. So Shabbat is supposed to connect our hearts, right? Shabbat, suddenly you take your desire for meat, your desire for chont, your desire for sleep, your desire for song, your desire for intimacy. All the desires come to play in Shabbos in a holy fashion. Couples are supposed to be together on Shabbos. You're supposed to eat delicious food on Shabbos. You're supposed to sleep late on Shabbos. Anything you can desire, you're supposed to do out of holiness for Shabbos. So Shabbos is a way of focusing our hearts, our desires in the honor of Hashem. And Shabbos is also a way of focusing our minds in the honor of Hashem. And the final paragraph he says, that's the explanation where of what we say, Samchem Bevinyan Shalem. Right? We wish a couple Samchem Bevinyan Shalem. Hashem, you should make them happy with a complete building. What does it mean? Shalem is Shlemut, the wholeness. On Shabbos, a Jew can attain wholeness in the service of Hashem. A person can learn Torah. A person could do good deeds. The question is he whole? And very often he isn't. Very often you do what's right, but like I said in the beginning of the Ntivot Shalom, you could call your father every morning for 2 decades and never feel like your heart is in it. You did it, okay, very nice. Very often a person really isn't connected on the different levels. He's doing what's right, but he's not connected. But through Shabbos, a person can connect. Because Shabbos is the essence of heaven and earth. Everything you're doing in the world revolves around Shabbos. Even the mundane. And on Shabbos, a person has the capacity to take that mundane and uplift it. Shabbos isn't a day where you're fighting the physical world. Shabbos is a day when you're uplifting the physical world. And that's what it says, HaShabbat Noam HaNeshamot. Shabbos is the pleasantness of the souls. The seventh day is the pleasantness of the spirits. The idea is that Shabbos is a time when a person can pleasantly connect with the love of Hashem, the awe of Hashem. On Shabbos, a person finds it much easier to say, my soul, my heart, my thoughts are connected to Hashem. And that's why on Shabbos, we wish a person Samchem Bevinyan Shalem, and we can add that's why we say Shalom Aleichem. That on Shabbos, we wish a person to have Shabbat Shalom. We wish a person to find peace in the Shabbos. In Shabbos, a person can find wholeness in his connection to Hashem.